Welcome to the Shadows of Mystery podcast, the podcast where we unravel some of the most intriguing and perplexing cases from history. I'm your host, and today we'll be diving deep into a dark and mysterious tale that continues to baffle investigators and enthusiasts alike. Join us as we explore the twists, turns, and unanswered questions surrounding the murder of Julia Wallace in this gripping episode. Prepare yourself for a story that will leave you questioning everything you think you know. Beneath the haze of Liverpool's damp skies in 1931, a chilling tale began to unravel. A story of calculated deception, cryptic messages, and a murder that would baffle investigators for decades to come. The setting was unassuming. A modest house in a quiet neighborhood, but what lay beneath the surface was anything but ordinary. Welcome to episode 40 of Shadows of Mystery, where we cast light on one of the most enigmatic cases in British criminal history, the murder of Julia Wallace. This was no open and shut case, but a labyrinth of riddles and contradictions that left even seasoned detectives scratching their heads. At its heart was a peculiar phone call, an appointment at a non-existent address, and a puzzle that seemed to grow darker with every turn. Who could have orchestrated such an elaborate plan? What secrets were being kept behind closed doors? Imagine this as a story, penned to the sound of a crackling fireplace where every word is steeped in the eerie undertone of unanswered questions. It's a tale of misdirection and mystery, one that has haunted true crime enthusiasts for generations. So settle in, let the shadows draw closer, and join us as we step into the depths of this perplexing and unforgettable tale. The stage is set. The story begins with Julia and William Herbert Wallace, an unassuming couple living a modest life in a two-story home on Wolverton Street in the quiet Anfield district of Liverpool. William Wallace, a middle-aged insurance agent, was meticulous by nature. His days governed by strict routines, his evenings often spent immersed in intellectual pursuits. A creature of habit, he regularly attended meetings at the Liverpool Central Chess Club, where he enjoyed solving complex chess problems and engaging in friendly matches with like-minded enthusiasts. Julia, his wife, was known to be a quiet and reserved woman, dedicated to keeping their household running smoothly. Together, they led a quiet, ordinary life, their days blending into one another with little deviation. That is, until the evening of January 19th, 1931, when the ordinary was shattered by an unexpected and enigmatic phone call. It was a cold, damp evening, typical of a Liverpool winter, and William had made his way to the chess club as usual. The club was abuzz with the hum of conversation and the soft clatter of chess pieces, a haven of focus and companionship. Suddenly, a member of the staff approached William to inform him that there was a call for him. The request was an unusual one. Rarely did anyone receive phone calls at the club, especially in the middle of a quiet evening of chess. The caller, a man who identified himself as R.M. Qualtrough, spoke with formality and precision. He requested Wallace's assistance in meeting at a specific address the next evening, claiming to be interested in discussing insurance policies. The details were odd and unsettling. The name was unfamiliar, and the address, Menlove Gardens East, sparked no recognition in Wallace. The call itself was peculiar, marked by a level of precision that felt almost rehearsed. Nevertheless, Wallace jotted down the details, including the time and place of the meeting, and agreed to the appointment. As Wallace hung up the phone, he couldn't have known that this single decision would set in motion a chain of events that would not only disrupt his ordinary life, but also ensnare him in one of the most baffling and infamous murder mysteries of the 20th century. The address on Menlove Gardens East and the mysterious caller would soon become the first threads in a tangled web of unanswered questions, speculation, and intrigue. It was a scenario so strange and layered with uncertainty that even a seasoned mystery novelist might struggle to dream it up. The crime. The following day, January 20th, William Herbert Wallace set out on what seemed like a straightforward errand to Menlove Gardens East, a location he had been instructed to visit by an anonymous caller during a phone message the previous evening. However, almost immediately, he ran into an unexpected problem. Menlove Gardens East, it turned out, did not exist. The area had Menlove Gardens North, South, and West, but no East. Confused and increasingly frustrated, Wallace wandered the surrounding streets, asking for directions from passersby, and even stopping at homes to inquire. No one could provide him with any useful information, leaving him bewildered by what seemed like an elaborate wild goose chase. Eventually, Wallace gave up on the errand altogether and decided to return home. It was upon his return that events took a shocking and unthinkable turn. Arriving at his home, Wallace found the back door locked, which was unusual, but the front door curiously unlocked. Stepping inside, he was met with a scene of horror. His wife, Julia, lay lifeless in their small parlor, her body savagely beaten with what police would later theorize was a fire poker. Blood pooled around her, and the brutal nature of the attack suggested a crime of rage. Yet, the room itself showed minimal signs of struggle or disturbance. No furniture overturned, no obvious theft, and no clear indication of a break-in. Wallace's reaction appeared to be one of confusion, disbelief, and distress. Panicked, he ran to a neighbor's home for help, reportedly stumbling over his words as he tried to explain the gruesome scene he had just discovered. Neighbors quickly summoned the police, who arrived to begin their investigation into what would soon become one of the most baffling murder cases of the era. As the authorities examined the crime scene and collected evidence, questions began to arise about who could have committed such a brutal act and why. The investigation. From the outset, the investigation raised more questions than it answered. William Herbert Wallace, a reserved insurance salesman with a rigidly unadventurous nature, struck many as an unlikely murderer. His quiet demeanor and routine lifestyle seemed at odds with the brutality of the crime. Yet the police were quick to view him as the prime suspect, partly because there was no obvious alternative. Their theory rested on several key points. For one, the peculiar phone call arranging Wallace's alibi cast immediate suspicion. The call, made to Wallace's chess club the night before the murder, directed him to an address that turned out to be non-existent. Could Wallace himself have orchestrated the call, intentionally creating an ironclad excuse for his absence at the presumed time of Julia's murder? Investigators believed it was plausible and argued that his knowledge of the timing and circumstances gave him an advantage. There was also the matter of opportunity. As Julia's husband, Wallace would have had easy access to their home and, potentially, the murder weapon. The intimate nature of the crime, Julia had been bludgeoned to death, suggested a killer who was familiar with her, only strengthening the suspicion against Wallace. Furthermore, the lack of signs of forced entry supported the idea that the attack was carried out by someone who had been willingly let into the house. Despite these considerations, crucial evidence was glaringly absent. No murder weapon was ever recovered, and no bloodstains were found on Wallace's clothing. Even though Julia's injuries were severe enough to suggest her attacker would have been splattered with blood, Wallace's calm demeanor after discovering his wife's body also raised questions. Was it the composure of an innocent man, or a calculating murderer? Meanwhile, forensic techniques in the 1930s were primitive by today's standards, leaving investigators heavily reliant on circumstantial evidence and speculation. Public opinion was deeply divided. Many saw Wallace as the victim of overzealous police work, targeted simply because there were no other viable suspects. Others believed that his seemingly mild-mannered exterior masked a calculating mind capable of planning and committing the perfect crime. Still, on February 1, 1931, William Herbert Wallace was arrested and charged with the murder of his wife. His trial would soon become one of the most intriguing cases of its time, sparking debates that continue to this day. A trial shrouded in mystery. The trial of Wallace quickly became a national spectacle, captivating the public and dominating headlines with its tale of murder, deception, and unanswered questions. Both the prosecution and defense presented compelling yet contradictory narratives, each rife with intrigue and laden with drama that only deepened the mystery. The prosecution leaned heavily on the idea of premeditation, crafting a story that painted Wallace as a cold, calculating husband. They argued that Wallace had orchestrated the strange Qualtro phone call to the chess club, ensuring his alibi was firmly in place. By luring himself away from his home on the pretense of a business appointment, Wallace supposedly guaranteed witnesses to his absence while he prepared to kill his wife undisturbed upon his return. It was a tidy explanation, wrapped in the kind of simplicity prosecutors often favored to sway a jury. The idea of such a meticulous plan, with Wallace essentially creating a phantom caller to serve as his scapegoat, seemed plausible on paper. But was it convincing enough to prove guilt beyond a reasonable doubt? The defense, however, found fertile ground in the many gaps of the prosecution's case. They questioned how Wallace, an unimposing, mild-mannered man who was not known for any great physical prowess, could have physically overpowered Julia, who was reportedly in good health and capable of resisting an attacker. The defense also raised doubts about the practicality of Wallace cleaning himself so thoroughly of her blood in such a short span of time, leaving no trace behind. Furthermore, multiple witnesses had seen Wallace wandering the streets, genuinely searching for the non-existent Menlove Gardens East during the critical time window. These witnesses, who had no connection to Wallace, corroborated his claim that he had been far from the crime scene when Julia was brutally murdered. Yet the most sensational aspect of the case was a legal twist that would go down in history. Despite the circumstantial nature of the evidence, Wallace was convicted of his wife's murder, a shocking and controversial verdict. The fragility of the prosecution's case made the decision all the more surprising, as it hinged heavily on inferences rather than direct proof. However, what happened next marked an unprecedented moment in British legal history. Just months after Wallace's conviction, the Court of Appeal overturned the verdict, citing insufficient evidence to uphold the conviction. The reversal of a murder conviction was, and remains, a rare event in the UK, adding yet another layer of intrigue to an already compelling case. Wallace was released, a free man but forever haunted by the shadow of suspicion. Though he would never be retried, the stigma of being accused of his wife's murder followed him for the rest of his life. Meanwhile, the murder of Julia Wallace faded from the headlines, transforming into an enduring enigma that continues to baffle historians, legal experts, and true crime enthusiasts to this day. To some, it is a tale of justice ultimately served. To others, it remains a troubling mystery with far more questions than answers. The theories. Over the years, the case has spawned countless theories, each attempting to unravel the mystery a little further. Some theories are grounded in logic and evidence, carefully piecing together clues, while others delve into the realm of speculation, offering imaginative explanations. From potential suspects to hidden motives, the range of ideas reflects the complexity and intrigue surrounding the case, keeping investigators and enthusiasts captivated for decades. Was the caller the murderer? One of the most intriguing theories suggests that the mysterious Qualtro was the true perpetrator. This theory argues that Qualtro deliberately lured Wallace away from his home under false pretenses by arranging the fabricated meeting. The timing of this call and the subsequent setup was almost too perfect, ensuring that Wallace was far from home at the exact moment Julia was left defenseless. This raises a chilling question. Was this an opportunistic crime or a meticulously premeditated act? And if so, who would harbor such deep animosity toward the Wallaces? Enough to orchestrate such an elaborate and calculated murder? Could Qualtro have been someone close to the family? Or was this the work of a stranger with sinister motives? The identity and purpose of the mysterious caller remain one of the enduring puzzles of this case. A crime of passion? Some have speculated that Julia's murder arose not from careful plotting but sudden rage, a crime of passion committed in the heat of the moment. This theory often points to a shadowy third person, perhaps someone known to the couple, someone with a personal grudge or simmering resentment. This individual could have taken advantage of Wallace's carefully planned absence, seizing the opportunity to act on a deeply personal vendetta. The theory is compelling in its drama, but like so many other aspects of the case, it remains unsubstantiated. No solid evidence has ever surfaced to identify such a person or confirm their motive, leaving this explanation tantalizingly incomplete. Wallace himself. Despite the overturning of his conviction, suspicion has never fully lifted from William Wallace. Many still wonder if he could have been a diabolical yet disciplined killer, meticulously planning every detail of the crime and employing mental chess to anticipate the moves of the police investigation. If so, his demeanor during the trial was chillingly effective, calm, composed, and unnervingly stoic, even when subjected to the most intense scrutiny. Was this the behavior of an innocent man wrongly accused, or the calculated performance of a criminal mastermind? Wallace's ability to maintain his composure under pressure has fueled endless debate, leaving his role in the crime an enduring enigma. The legacy of an enigma. Nearly a century has passed since Julia Wallace's life was violently cut short, but her story refuses to fade into history. On a cold January evening in 1931, Julia was found brutally murdered in her Liverpool home, a crime that shocked the nation and left investigators baffled. Writers, armchair detectives, and professional criminologists alike continued to dissect the case, searching for overlooked clues among its tangled threads. Was it her husband, William Herbert Wallace, who was convicted and later acquitted? Or could it have been someone else entirely, using his alibi as the perfect cover? But perhaps the true lure of this mystery lies not just in the evidence or theories, but in its chilling reminder of life's imponderable uncertainties. It's a tale of misdirection, unanswered questions, and the haunting realization that some truths may never be uncovered. The identity of Julia Wallace's murderer remains hidden in shadows, an eternal question etched into the cold Liverpool streets, one that has baffled minds for generations and likely will continue to do so. Closing thoughts. The story of Julia Wallace's murder is one that evokes as much frustration as fascination. It's a tale that has confounded investigators, historians, and true crime enthusiasts for decades. With each turn of the narrative, as answers feel almost within reach, they slip further into the realm of speculation, leaving a trail of lingering questions that demand our attention. Who was responsible for Julia's untimely death? Was it a perfect crime, or was it a tragic misstep lost to the passage of time? Yet, even as the truth eludes us, the case speaks to something universal: the human need to impose order on chaos, to solve puzzles no matter how complex. There's something deeply compelling about mysteries like this, where every clue feels like a key to understanding, and yet the lock remains elusive. We're left with theories, debates, and the haunting realization that some questions may never have definitive answers. As the sun sets over 29 Wolverton Street, we are left to wonder whether the shadows there contain secrets we'll never fully uncover, or if they merely reflect our own silent aspirations for certainty in an uncertain world. It's this tension between what we know and what we'll never know that makes cases like Julia's linger in our minds long after the facts have been laid bare. One thing is for sure: there's no better way to end an episode of Shadows of Mystery. The unknown has a way of reminding us to look closer, to ask the uncomfortable questions, and to keep searching for the truth, even when the path is unclear. Until next time, remember, the darkest shadows often conceal the most intriguing secrets. Keep seeking, keep questioning. You never know what you might uncover.